end of my presentation of both the copyright copyright amendment bill and the performance performance bill. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Teboho, and we appreciate that it's been a very difficult presentation with the electricity and with the time constraints, but thank you so much for everything under the circumstances. And of course, Murphy's Law, the electricity comes back when you finish. But I think we'll now allow Walter to just give another summary of performance protection, and then we'll move on to questions of clarity.
Maar nie te min wat nou gaat gebeur is dat ons is, die dame van die nationale departement is nou klaar saam met haar voorlegging wat sy vir ons gegee het, wat toch ook mag gaan rondom die wijzigingswet en soos ek al reeds aangehaal het, waarom trend dit gaan om nou die die performance te beskerm en sovoorts volgens hulle rechte. En wat nou gaat gebeur, daar sal nou vraagtyd wees wat gestel word en jylle gaat ook nou geleentheid kry om jylle insaag te gee. So ek sal nou oog gee aan die voorsitter, dat die voorsitter dit doen as ons vraag het en sovoort. Die voorsitter sal dan die leiding gee. Dankie voorsitter.
Dankie Walter. All right, so we'll now take questions of clarity. So if you can raise your hand, we'll take questions in rounds of three. Can you please say your name and where you're from or the organization that you're representing? If you want to put your question in Afrikaans, that's fine, and Walter can assist with the translation. Do I see any hands? See one. All right, just the one hand, sir. Oh, then two.
Swartland Municipality, on behalf of our community of Darling and also our visitors, our elderly groups from our different areas, welcome in Darling, in specific our speaker, Dylan Mitchell and his team and also our National Department of DTIC. Just on page 19, ons gemeenskap is baie bly dat u vanaand is en soos die president uitgewys het, dat gemeenskapdeelname is baie belangrik. But can you just clarify on point 19, on page 19, on the royalties regarding sound recording, and I know you refer to clause 11, substitute section 9A, that refer to our indigenous community, because we know previously we have a lot of our people from Namakwaland or from Klaver or from Darling that make their own music, and then we find that certain big musicians or artists, they take our people's songs and they create is their own. Ons weet van jou loosboekie of loslapie, ons kan klom, antisaakie, antipara, ons kan klom mense doen. So that is the one question that we need clarity on. And then the next page. Sorry, then also page 20, the part that the offences provides that a person convicted of an offence shall be liable for a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 5 years or both such fine as imprisonment. Now, mense, my colleagues of government, provincial government, we all know, I'm the MMC, the member of the Mayoral Committee of Swartland of Protection Services, and we know our law enforcement and our police We struggle with that part. Who will be the law enforcement people that will oversee this act where people will misuse or maybe take our music and that? You talk about imprisonment. So who will be the law party or the institution that will you put special music policemen or whatever? That is my clarity. I thank you.
Thank you. So question here. There was a question over here and then a question over in this corner.
Wikimedia South Africa. I'm going to speak in English, if that's okay. My question actually also towards the DTI is building off of actually your question about the Performance Protection Act and particularly the penalties on collecting societies. I just wonder if you could tell us a bit more about, and I know the answer to this, but I just want to know if you could share it with everyone a bit more, about why the penalties were imposed, increasing the penalties from a fine of a few hundred thousand rand to up to 10 years imprisonment, and why that was done. I'm going to put myself out here and say, personally, I feel it's a good thing that they did these penalties, but I just want to know why the DTI did it. Thank you.
Other questions we have just noted, we have noted them. But on the issue of the enforcement, the second question that my colleague has asked, we have CIPC as an organization that enforces on the, they are the one that deals with enforcement of the Copyright Amendment Bill. We also have the tribunal where we have issues. You can take your matters to the tribunal. And on the first question, I've noted the first question. I can't provide an answer now, but I've noted it. Yes. And then on the issue of the increment or the penalty, I think it was informed by the issue of when I started with the presentation of the performance. You remember I spoke about where most of the performers, they are left being paupers. Yes, as they're struggling. So hence, when they increase the fees, I think it was informed by a research study conducted about a research that was conducted in the department. Because for each and every study that we do in the department, we conduct the research, and the research informs the fees that is the amount that we arrive at. So basically, to say the specific from 100 to whatever, I won't say, but the research was done. Because we've got processes, what we call the regulatory impact assessments in the department, so also a social economic impact assessment, and we also do the research. So those four reports, they give us a sense of what is currently happening, how much is reasonable, how much can be charged. Okay, then.
The punishment is for collecting societies, right? These are the guys who, you're a musician, your music gets played on the radio, you're entitled to royalties as a musician every time your music is played on the radio. Now that gets collected by collecting societies, and the problem that this penalty seeks to solve is that the collecting societies are not paying a lot of the artists. So a lot of the artists are dying as paupers. There was a big scandal a couple of years ago around gospel singers, very famous gospel singers who were music played in the radio a lot, entitled to millions of rands, not getting a single cent. And that's my understanding of why the penalties were increased.
Thanks.
If I can just go to the Performance Protection Amendment Bill.
Yes, I'm sorry, I just want to see if there are any other questions of any other questions of clarity from the audience. Okay, I see none, so we'll take yours.
My colleague, I will speak also in English, but I will first put that one in Afrikaans. Soos jy kan sien, ons elderly mense, dis die mense wat musiek maak. They are the people who know music. So when we talk about the objectives of the bill, when it says that it provides for performance economic rights, so it means like, if I talk about economic rights, it means like it's business, it's money, it's all that. So what will be the government and the provincial and also our speaker, maybe the stance on as a community of Mamasbury, Darling, Riverlands and all that that is here tonight. If we as a community propose or we compose an item, a song, how will it be that, will it be only the single composition or will it be a group that will be compensated out of that act that will at the end of the day will become a song or a performance or an art? That is my question, because ons praat met die mense wat elke dag perform, hulle sing, hoe kan ons die? Want op die ou end, if we want to enhance and protect and encourage performance or performers, then the act need also to apply and protect us as upcoming or the elderly who starts in the, because they have talent. They want to, maybe my mom is not anymore with us, but maybe Auntie Gertie can transfer skills to me. Well, if I'm a child, can the right be transferred to me as a child also? That's why I want to ask clarity on that performance.
Thank you. There is another question from the lady in the front.
Because I really have community that is a lot of artists here. So for instance, that Auntie Gertie, she is a performer. And she have a song that, and maybe she in the next few years, she will, I as a child, so I as a son, so will I be entitled when she's not anymore there, that I can claim the right of my mother's song. That's we also want, we want clarity on that part also.
Thank you very much. We have another question from the lady in the front.
I'm the WOW champion of the Western Cape of Department of Health, and we have seniors from Riverlands here, we have seniors of Abbotsdale, and we have Darling seniors that also belongs to the Western Cape on Wellness. And I just want to add on to Mr. Warnick. This is a rural town. Riverlands, Chatsworth, Carbuskraal, Darling are rural towns. We, Mr. Warnick spoke about the seniors. Well, they have Christmas bands and they do their performance. But I'm coming to our youth. In Abbotsdale, we have a youth. Miriam is here. She has a youth group. My question and my plea today and also to the speaker is we want workshops to educate our youth how and what the act is about, what they must do to become registered, how they can earn money. We have youth on the corners of our streets doing drugs, doing everything that's wrong that you can think about, but they are talented and they are not educated. That is why they're doing all these things. But if they're talented and educated, we won't have these problems in little dorpies like this. So I also want the department, and especially the speaker, to look at this, and that you have to come to these rural towns again and do the workshops. Teach them how to set up a contract. Teach them how, when I'm the manager of Mr. Warnick, I can be a crook. I can say you earned 5,000 rand from Mrs. van Boven for your show tonight, but actually I said 15. I walk away with 10. He don't know. I just give him the 5. So come and teach our youth, not just in rural towns, in the province as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. I think what we'll do for this round is we'll allow the department to respond to the questions that have been asked, and if there are more questions of clarity, then we'll take those, and then from there we'll move on to oral submissions. Over to the department.
Tebogo?
Good afternoon. I'll try and tackle some of the questions that were raised. Some were comments, and I'll try to build on some of the comments. Coming to your comments in terms of groupings and how can, will you claim as a group or how do you claim? Remember, copyright on its own is a complex issue and very, it's very complex. So in a copyright, as a singer, you've got a copyright. As a performer, you've got a copyright. As a dancer, you've got a copyright. As a composer of the song, you have a copyright. As the person who puts the instruments together, it's a copyright. So each and every component in that in those musicians, if I may put it so, are protected by the copyright, and that's what the Bill 6 to address the issues of royalties, because artists are complaining, actually saying that because the law currently doesn't recognize artists as in the formal sector. So that's why, if you remember, years back, there was a soapy called Generations, and they were fired from that generation. Labor Department couldn't help them because they are not recognized as a formal economy. So that's what the bill seeks to do in the copyright and the performance. And coming to you in terms of how can the youth are roaming around, they need, yes, I will agree with you. As I have said in my opening statement, that copyright is a technical issue. And we do have a program within the department where we travel every year in all 9 provinces. It's called education and awareness that we do, teaching people about the what is copyright and how can you register your copyright and all those things. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any further questions of clarity? Okay, I see none. Thank you. So we'll now move on to oral submissions. I do note we have an oral submission in the front. So perhaps we'll start with you, sir.
Bye, donkey. Hold on. Is it okay if I'm speaking like this? Can you all hear me? I prefer speaking to you rather than through the machine. Oh, it's for the recording. Apologies. Okay, so I've got to speak to you through the microphone. I'm going to give a brief introduction to myself. I know you all know that I'm from Wikimedia South Africa, and I'm going to talk a bit about what that is. And that'll explain why I'm talking to you here today on the issue of copyright. Because we care about two things, two really big things. So Wikimedia South Africa, we represent Wikipedia editors in South Africa, the folks who make the free online encyclopedia, who are just like you. There's an Afrikaans version, by the way. Please edit it. It needs more editors. An important thing talk to mention about Wikimedia South Africa is that, and the Wiki movement generally everywhere, is that we promote free knowledge to everyone everywhere, right? That's our mission, right? We're all unpaid volunteers, Wikimedia South Africa, we're a membership organization. And when we do use copyright in Wikipedia, we take the strictest possible interpretation of copyright law. And that explains why we care about this issue so much. And also give you some idea about why copyright is important to you. This is my hope, is that my presentation, you know, will make it clear why copyright is important to everyone, not just for musical reasons, but also for other reasons too, like photographs, for example. So I don't know how well you could see this photograph. Anyone has a guess as to what this is a photograph of? Absolutely, yes. Absolutely correct, yes. This is a statue of Madiba outside the Union Buildings in Pretoria. Now, you'll notice the picture doesn't look quite right. I censored this out. I took this photograph, I censored it out. Why did I censor out this photograph? And I censored out this photograph because currently the way copyright law, the bill from 1978, that's when the copyright law was written in South Africa, and the one we're still using today. Under that law, if I share this image without censoring out the statue of Madiba on the internet, I run the risk of being sued by someone for royalties, right? And that's because we do not have something called freedom of panorama in this country. So if you were to go to the Union Buildings, take a statue of Madiba, let's say you have a picture of yourself with the statue, you know, you're a tourist, it's fun to be in Pretoria, do that sort of stuff, and you share it on the internet, or even if you'd make a postcard out of it, even if you paint your own postcard, and you send that postcard to your family and darling, right? The person who owns the royalties to that statue, whoever that is, national government, local government, the artist who did it, we don't know. it's often hard to figure these out because that's all done by contract law. They could sue you and get royalties from you. An example of this, almost a very similar situation to what we have here in South Africa, is in Sweden a few years ago. They also had a badly written, old-fashioned copyright law with no freedom of panorama. Someone took a photograph of a fountain, newly built fountain, in front of an organization. It was in the street, by the way. So this is, I'm only talking about works of public art, like monuments in public spaces. Took the photograph of this fountain, put it up on Wikipedia. The organization sued him. Now, our friends in Sweden, Wikimedia Sweden, they represented him in court, and they were prepared to pay for all the penalties should he lose. They lost. Do you want to know how much Wikimedia Sweden had to pay in royalties? Equivalent to 2 million rand. Right? So that gives you an idea of sort of how at risk you are. So that means that when we take photographs, and now on Wikipedia, we really, really want to illustrate all of South Africa's monuments, right? The old ones, as well as the new ones, definitely the new ones. At the moment, we can only accept pictures of the old ones. And you'll notice here, this is a screenshot of the Wikipedia page in English for Rhodes Memorial. Now, Rhodes Memorial built a long time ago, like 110 years ago or so. Why can we only accept photographs of colonial era monuments and not newly built monuments? And the answer to that is because copyright expires, right? So we're in this really weird situation right now, as things stand, without freedom of panorama, where we can only take photographs of old buildings, colonial era buildings, right? Some apartheid era monuments and buildings, and put them on Wikipedia, share them on the internet freely. We cannot do the same in confidence with recently built monuments, such as monuments celebrating the struggle against apartheid. We can't do that. Too risky for us, right? And the truth is, it's risky for everyone. Everyone's kind of gambling every time they share a picture over the internet like this of a recently built monument. So that's why we support, that's the biggest reason why we support the bill. It's because the bill fixes this problem. It has freedom of panorama. There is another thing that we support about the bill as well, and I want to talk about, and that is fair use. And I know you spoke quite a bit about fair use in your presentation. It's one of the more contentious parts of the bill. How much time do I have, by the way? I don't want to go over time. And I know this is a big issue.
If you can try and wrap up in 5 minutes, I would appreciate it.
Okay, so I'm going to try and wrap up again in 5 minutes. Okay, so fair use refers to copyright exceptions, right? At the moment, South Africa, when we talk about copyright exceptions, we've got fair dealing. What is the difference between fair use and fair dealing? Fair dealing is a list of exceptions. Like, I want to take a photograph. Let me put it this way. I want to take a photograph for educational reasons, right? Educational, pro-social, non-profit reasons like that. That would sort of be in the list of exceptions. Fair use does the same, but instead of saying, I've got a set list, which takes 20 years to update, or maybe 40 years, you know, I mean, we haven't really meaningfully updated the bill since 1978, so actually it's like, what, 45 years now? So instead of having this fixed list that takes a million years to update, we're now going to go with a concept. We're going to say that so long as the artist's rights are not violated. I'm sort of really badly summarizing fair use, but this is a summary. So long as the artist's rights generally are not violated, so long as they're not deprived of a right to income, and so long as it's a kind of a pro-social public benefit use, then you can make a derivative work out of it, right? And a good example of that it's quite a controversial example to make in this country because Google has been politicized quite a lot on this issue, but it is actually Google. And so how Google works, technology company, makes your internet searches very efficient. How it does is it takes a picture of the whole of the internet, puts it on its servers, so it's efficient for you to find the website you're looking for, right? Now that went to court in America. Under the fair use doctrine, that was found to be okay. For websites, it was found to be in their interests to have fair use because it acted as free advertising. What Google was doing was free advertising for the websites, right? And the reason why the fair use is very good in this way is because it keeps the law up to date for technology, right? So if you want to build a good technology industry, fair use is a really good system. And there are countries which share our legal history, very similar legal history to us, based on British law, right? Or even Anglo-Dutch law, like Sri Lanka. They have adopted fair use, moved from fair dealing to fair use. And the reason why is because they know it's America's secret sauce, right, to technology development. It's a big and important reason why America has a thriving technology industry is because they got fair use. And this is a big reason why Europe does not. European countries do not, because they do not have fair use. If you try to build a Google in Europe, someone's going to sue you, and you're not going to be able to run your company. That's simple. There's a bunch of other reasons here, but I'm not going to go into too much detail. I suppose for Wikipedia, it's very good at illuminating facts, illuminating knowledge. It makes our mission of providing everyone with free knowledge much easier and much easier, much safer to do. Right? So this is our personal, our sort of selfish reason why we as the Wikipedia community support free fair use over fair dealing, is because it makes our lives easier as Wikipedia editors when we want to make knowledge freely accessible to everyone everywhere. By the way, fair use it does not mean that someone can take an entire book or textbook and photocopy it for free and be protected. It doesn't mean that, right? If someone steals your copyright, fair use is just as strict on that as fair dealing. I mean, America, which invented fair use, still uses it. They're very strict on this sort of stuff, right? Just as strict as we are. So it also protects the author just as much as fair dealing does. Great. I think I can wrap it up there. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I'd now like to offer the opportunity to anybody else who would like to make an oral submission.
We know you refer to the fair use, and we know some of us like to, when music is on the internet and you download it and you play it. Is that fine? Because like I myself, previously in my young days, I was a DJ, so I like music mixes. So I'll find, I will go onto Google, and I will find someone's mix, remix, and I will download and copy it, and I will play it on myself. I'm protected, or if do I something, do I wrong, do it wrong?
So that's a really good question. So what you're talking about there, essentially two things, right? There's derivative works, and that sounds like what you're doing. You're making a derivative work, which is to say that, you know, you hear a song, you like the song. You don't like all the song, but you like pieces of the song, bits of the song, and you want to reuse bits of that song, in your own work of creativity, right? There's another end to that example, the extreme end, which is you don't want to make anything new. You just want to steal the work. You want to pirate it, like a pirate on the open seas, right? So both under fair use and fair dealing, piracy, totally stealing the work, not allowed. Yeah, not allowed. Someone, if you make a song, someone steals your song, sells it as their own, is now making money off your work, mm-mm. No. Both the old law, the current law, and the new law says no ways. Not allowed to do that. Right? You get smacked on the wrist, put in prison, pay penalties. It doesn't necessarily mean a prison sentence. Usually it's really just a fine or it's like damages. So damages to you as the artist, you'll have to get reimbursed, like repaid for the damages, right? Everyone loves them. So thank you for that, because I didn't actually answer your question yet. I just gave it an extreme example. So when it comes to derivative works, when they or you take a piece of other work and make your own unique piece of work based off that. Now that's complicated. Under fair dealing, generally that is not allowed. There's no space for this in fair dealing unless the copyright has expired. Every time you do this, I would actually suggest you speak to a copyright lawyer under fair dealing, as things are. And I would suspect 99% of the time they would say, no ways, even if it's longer than 2 seconds, no ways, don't do it. Right? Fair use is a bit different. Fair use gives you a bit more space, right, to create derivative works. And there's a bunch of other arguments connected to it in fair use. So fair use would say, like, does it hurt the original author? Right, that you're taking this music from and reusing. Does it hurt their right to derive an income? Right. Generally, even fair use is quite strict on this, and will say you should be paying that guy something because even if you're taking a couple seconds of their music, you should still pay them something because that's sweat of the brow. It's part of their work, right?
Need to start wrapping up.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
I also just want to note we are going a bit off. Agenda. So we are supposed to be doing oral submissions at the moment. My suggestion, sir, is if you have questions of clarity for the speaker, that you rather ask him afterwards, or perhaps you can step outside and speak as well, so we can allow others who would like to make oral submissions the opportunity to do so. Thank you. Are there any other oral submissions? Okay. I see no oral submissions, so I would like to inform everyone of the process going forward. Thank you very much for the presentation. In terms of the process going forward, so we'll now receive all of the inputs, collate them, and we will process our negotiating mandates. That'll take us to the NCOP and the next process for this bill, or for these bills rather. I do want to say thank you very much to everybody who has made the time today, who has actually invested themselves and contributed. We really do appreciate it. So thank you, darling. I also want to say thank you very much to everyone who's traveled from other communities. We know that we have Abbotsdale, we have Chatsworth, so thank you very much. We do still have catering at the back, so if you'd like to grab something before you leave, you're welcome to do so as well. Your transport will be ready for those of you who have received transport at about 5:02, 10:02, so just be mindful of that as well. And if there is no other business, I want to thank you for your time. I'm sure this gentleman in the front will avail himself for any questions. Thank you, everyone. I'm going to ask a question. I'm sorry, I also just wanted to add, if you did want to still make a written submission or any other form of submission, or if you have any further questions, you're welcome to take my business card and I'll leave them at the front here so that you can collect them. Thank you, everyone.